Dr. Rena here. I'm a dental specialist and founder of RW Perio, located at 75 Harley Street. Welcome to my podcast, Life and Smile, where we talk about everything dental, lifestyle, business, and much more. Every episode, I'm joined in conversation with a specialist expert in their chosen field, who give us a behind-the-scenes glimpse into their daily regime, career turning points, and an insider look at what they can't live without. As a businesswoman myself, it's so inspiring to hear how people have built their careers and shattered those glass ceilings. So let's get the conversation going. Welcome back to another episode of Life and Smile Season 4. And this season has been incredibly inspiring, bringing together some of the greatest and most influential names across many contrasting industries, fashion, business, lifestyle, and of course, media. It has been so inspiring to hear the often very contrasting day-to-day routines across multiple industries and how they really make it work on a day-to-day basis. Today, I have with me a much anticipated guest whose work has spanned across health, beauty, travel, and luxury lifestyle. Olivia Falcon is, of course, the renowned founder of The Editor's List and co-founder of Spectacle Skincare, with her seriously impressive CV, also seeing her as a contributing beauty editor for Sheer Luxe and Country and Townhouse. Olivia, welcome to Life and Smile.
Wow, what a lovely introduction. Thank you. Hi.
So we mentioned in your intro all the impressive things you've done so far and the prominent names you've been involved in. But take us to the beginning. So talk us through those early years, how you started your career and then how it kind of progressed from there.
So I started my career in journalism in 1999 when I went for a general interview at Condé Nast, and very fortunately, Alexandra Shulman, who is the then editor of British Vogue, was looking for a PA. And I went to have an interview with her and I literally got the job on the spot, which was very, you know, a lovely surprise. And I went to work for Alex for about 2.5 years as her PA. And then I was promoted onto the features desk at Vogue, where I worked for another 2 years. And it was a very, very interesting time of my life. I loved working for Alexandra. She's still a friend of mine. She was very much my mentor. And after Vogue, I applied for a job at Tatler, which is under the same umbrella of Condé Nast. Yes. And I went on to be the beauty director of Tatler.
And is it something that you knew you always wanted to do? How did you kind of come up with that career decision?
Not at all. I went to an American university called Brown and I studied history of art and architecture. And after I graduated, I moved to New York for a few years and I worked actually for a celebrity publicity company called PMK. It's no longer going. But we were representing some amazing names like Woody Allen, Sharon Stone, Tom Cruise, and I worked as a publicist assistant. When I came back, I worked in New York for a couple of years. I came back to London. I was sort of looking for jobs and someone said, oh, you look like a Condé Nast girl. I didn't know what a Condé Nast girl looked like, but that's where I went for this general interview to see what opportunities there were. I was always interested in history at school, never so much English. So writing, I'm dyslexic and I used to struggle a lot with spelling. But I kind of literally fell into it by being someone's assistant.
Wow. So the one door opened up another and then it kind of progressed from there.
Yeah. And one thing I did notice though, when I went to work at Vogue, I spent a lot of time hanging around the beauty cupboard.
Right.
I'm a beauty junkie. I love products. And I was literally every lunch break was sort of rootling through what had come in, what was there. So that it kind of inspired my passion for the world of beauty.
The more you found out, the more interested you became, I guess. And the beauty and wellness landscape, it's constantly evolving. Do you have any personal favorite subjects or pieces that you've really kind of stood out for you over the years and been hugely impactful?
So for me, my specialist interest is in aesthetics and cosmetic innovations. I was very, very lucky. So when I went to work for Tatler, we started in 2003, the Tatler Cosmetic Surgery Guide, and I had a front row seat to kind of watch the industry evolve. So for me, I like, you know, writing about the latest technologies and innovations in cosmetic surgery and non-surgical treatments.
Is there any particular treatments that have kind of stood out for you over the last few months that you think, oh, that's interesting?
Well, I'm actually currently looking at a new treatment that's just launched in America. It hasn't come to the UK yet, called micro-coring, which I think sounds quite interesting. So this is basically, it's a skin tightening treatment, and it gets done all over the face. And they basically, the machine takes out little tiny micro columns of skin, and hence sort of tightens like any laxity on the face. So that's something I'm actually going to start writing about next week.
Oh, how interesting.
For the Times. That's what I'm looking out for at the moment. I've obviously tried a lot of different treatments, non-invasive treatments. I've watched, you know, the popularity of machines like Morpheus 8, which is radiofrequency microneedling, which is very good for, again, refining skin texture, tightening, giving up a little bit of laxity. It's not going to give the results, obviously, of a facelift, but, you know, for people in their early 40s are noticing that things are heading south a little bit. It's a great treatment for, you know, giving you a little bit of a lift, but also improving the texture of your skin.
Right. And in terms of kind of, you mentioned your journey from where you started as a PA, the next kind of steps you took. Obviously, to get to where you are, there was a lot of work involved, a lot of hard grafting. Tell us sort of if you were giving advice to your younger self or someone who's at the start of their career, what would you sort of say to them? Because I guess it can be a very difficult industry to get into and also do well in, I guess.
Yeah, so I think journalism is a really competitive industry, like most industries are these days. And I think I would say to people, you know, younger people, really put 100% of your effort into your job. Be the person that gets there 10 minutes early, volunteer to stay a bit late. I think most people in life are cruising around, giving off about 50% of their energy. If you could just give, you know, push and give 100% or 90%, I think you're going to be winning. I'm still one of these people. I run my business, the editor's list. I have one assistant. And very often I find myself in situations where I have to pack a goodie bag or roll up my sleeves. And I don't really mind doing that. I mean, I think people need to really put in the hours and the time and just be open to trying your hand to lots of different things. And yeah, that's what I
love. That such good advice. And I think sometimes we're trying to do the minimum amount possible, but actually to make a difference you have to go more than 100% every single day if you can. And I guess from what I can see today as well, even today, and how successful you are, you're so enthusiastic and giving 100% to everything you're doing, from our appointment to the podcast. So that's great to see. Do you think it's important, so if someone didn't really know the journey to take, what would be the first steps to get involved in?
I think if you're not really sure where to go, I would look around you and see what network you have available to you, and ask people, reach out to people. Whenever anyone, you know, contacts me and asks my advice or opinion, I always make time to try and talk to other people, share my experience. I don't know how helpful my advice has been to people in the past, but I am very, you know, I was really well mentored when I was younger. So it's really important to me to try and give back in that way and encourage younger people. So I do, you know, when I do big events, I do reach out to local colleges and stuff, and I get interns in and run an intern program and things like that. So I think it's all about going out there and just not being afraid to approach people maybe you don't know. Yes. Because I think most people want to help, and everyone's very busy, but I do try and make time for people who are getting into the beauty game.
Yeah, that's really nice. I think it's the worst case scenario if someone says no, but there's no harm in asking, for sure. What's been your sort of proudest moment today? You've been involved with so many amazing things. What would be that kind of moment where you're like, yes, that's made me super proud?
I think creating my business, the editor's list, in 2017, going it alone, stepping away. I've always worked, you know, for another company. I worked for Condé Nast for, gosh, I think 13, 14 years. And actually having the courage to step away and to set up and create your own business. It can be really scary, you know.
Sure.
But I had faith, and I just, you know, I think they sometimes say you have to fake it to make it when you start off with. If you feel you don't have the confidence, you just have to sort of push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone. And I find that it's been very, very rewarding. I really like what I do because I'm helping people find the right doctors and surgeons. So the editors, is just to explain, is a cosmetic consultancy business. So if you're looking to find, you know, someone who would maybe, you feel that you've turned 50 and you want to know where to go and who to see to have some treatments, I offer advice on who to see, where to go, what treatments work, what doesn't. And I try and match make people with the best doctor for them.
Brilliant. And anything still on your agenda in terms of life goals?
Yes, I do have a lot of things. I mean, the problem is I've got two children and I'm running kind of three businesses, the editor's list, I have a skincare business, and I also write. So I'm a little bit time poor, but I definitely am looking forward to the time in my life where I'd like to do some actually charity work and to give back. Yeah. My brand Spectacle Skincare is very much focused on sustainability, and working in the beauty industry, I'm very aware of the amount of waste. I do watch and despair about, you know, what's going on with the planet. So I really would like to find something to do where I could try and give back, you know, with my time as much as, you know, contacts or whatever, just, you know, to do something to help. And also with humanity as well, I often think maybe I'd like to be, to be a social worker or something. I'd really like to do something very, very different. So maybe that would be my next
phase yes. of your career. Wow. Yeah. Sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So you're obviously involved in a lot. You're very enthusiastic with what you do. And you mentioned about kind of your mentors from the start of your career. Who do you turn to now? Is there a book or what inspires you? What keeps you going at that level? You mentioned that kind of 100% or if not more energy every single day.
So I did a course just before I got married at the Kabbalah Center. So I'm a sort of non-practicing Christian, really. I don't go to church that much. My husband is Jewish. So we were kind of, when we got married, we were kind of wondering how, you know, we would get married. And Kabbalah seemed to be quite a good middle point because it's just a really practical way of sort of reinforcing positive energy into your life. And its roots are based in Judaism, but I met this amazing man called Marcus Weston, who runs the UK branch of the Kabbalah, and he actually married me and my husband. But I did a course, and it was just so helpful in all aspects of life. And I met the most interesting people there. So I would say that, you know, my main problem is I get a bit run down, all doing a bit too much, and I get a bit depleted. So I definitely try on a weekend to turn my phone off on a Sunday and just focus more on the spiritual side of things, which I think is so important and often so overlooked. And yes. Marcus Weston, I would say, was definitely be one of my sort of spiritual gurus.
How do you plan that into your day? Like, sort of, do you have certain sort of...
I do. The only thing I do is every night before I go to sleep, I always think in my mind what I'm grateful for. And I think... in life, we, you know, often focus on the bigger picture, but actually the small things in life to be grateful for. And I do feel very grateful for everything that I've got. And I think gratitude really helps keep you feeling positive and happy with life.
Absolutely. I love that. On the point of day to day, do you have, because as you mentioned, you're juggling with the kids, the three businesses. Do you have like a usual daily routine or... Is it every day is different? Week is different.
The only thing in my routine that is, you know, I have to feed my children, get them to school. But every day, my work day is very different. This is why I love what I do so much. I have lots of different clients at the editor's list, from, you know, A-list Hollywood stars through to very, you know, lovely normal people who are, you know, women, working women, stay-at-home mums, and everyone sort of in between. So I am talking to lots of different people. I travel quite a lot for my work. I go to all the different aesthetic conferences, which is really interesting, and I get to go and see all the new different treatments and meet the surgeons. And then it's just helping, you know, women mainly. I do have a few male clients, but a lot of women have confidence issues and they want things sorted out, and, you know, helping them achieve their goals is very, very fulfilling.
Nice. I guess the variety keeps things interesting, and looking forward to every single day. We ask our guests this one question, which is always really interesting. three things that we can always find either at your desk or in your handbag. And I can see three things laid out on the table right now that you can't live without. So yeah, talk us through.
So yes, I've got a little makeup bag, and I find as I've aged, my brows are they've gone a bit wiry. And I always travel with this hourglass. It's called the Arch Brow Shaping Gel. It's a translucent gel, which just, you know, if you've got good eyebrows, I think you can look sort of pretty put together. And similarly with a lip, I think if you've got a good lip going on, you can look very pulled together, even if you're in a pair of jeans. And I love this brand by Mario. I think Mario is, I think, Kim Kardashian's makeup artist, but he makes the best makeup. And I've got this amazing, it's called the Pink Glow Plumping Lip Serum. It is phenomenal. It plumps up your lips. It gives it a lovely glossy glow. And then also, I have to say, my Spectacle Performance Cream. It's a multitasking moisturizer. I don't drink enough water, specifically when we're coming to autumn and it's hot and cold weather. I sometimes get quite flaky skin. I get rosacea. And this is a little tube of the most unbelievable moisturizer that's loaded with active ingredients. It's got niacinamide and something called gallic acid, which is very anti-inflammatory. And it's like a balm. It goes on so nicely under makeup. It makes your makeup last longer. And it just makes the skin glow. It kind of polishes it up like a marble. It's fantastic.
Amazing. All sound really good. So, final question. Where can we find you off duty? So, you know the best surgeons in town, etc. But what about off duty? Any cool spots we can see hanging out in London?
Gosh, well, actually, I live outside of London. So when I'm off duty, I like getting out into nature.
Nice.
I do regular laps of the Virginia Water Lake. Mm-hmm. I walk in Swinley Forest. This is all the local places for me. I came to London the other day, though, and I went to the Battersea Power Station. I don't know if you've been. They have the most phenomenal Zara.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So I had a good old shop up there. And I would say to anyone that's, you know, wanting to go and have a great day out, go to the Battersea Power Station. It is phenomenal. I am a foodie, so I love discovering new restaurants. So one of my new favorite ones is at one in Notting Hill called Dorian. I'm a meat eater, and they do the best steak there, the best cocktails. For old school, this is a really good, this is not very well known, but I used to live in London in St. John's Wood, and there's this phenomenal restaurant called Oslo Court. So it's like going into a 70s time warp. Wow. It's peach-coloured tablecloths, and everyone in there is probably over 70, but fabulous, with the most amazing jewellery and hairstyles, but it's the food that keeps everyone coming back. It is the most delicious food. It's quite 80s menu, steak Diane, crepe Suzette, all of that. But the ambience and the food are incredible. So Oslo Court, I'm actually booking to go before Christmas because it's so fabulous, but I won't eat the whole day before because it's like a massive feast.
Well, lots to check out there. Thank you so much, Livia, for all those little nuggets of information. Really inspiring career so far, and I'm sure the listeners enjoy the conversation just as much as I did. And hopefully see you back on Harley Street very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again.